It is 10, sorry, it is 11:30. Dr. King.
Thank you. Members of the board, we have an initial review, case 2029, Justin McKinney, PT. Mr. McKinney, you're present. Did you say you're counsel present?
I'm sorry, did you say something?
Do you have someone representing?
Yes.
Mindy, you're breaking up a little bit.
Not Mindy. Yeah, Dr. King, if you could say your question again, then.
I'm sorry, this is Peggy. Dr. King, you're breaking up just a little bit.
Okay, thank you. Is that better?
A little, go ahead.
There's, I worry that it might be the patient, but I think that there's someone who's not on mute and there's a lot of background noise.
Okay. I think we'll all. Patient KS, if you could put yourself back on mute until such time that the board requests your statement, we would appreciate it.
I don't think my mute works because it looks like I'm on mute right now.
Okay, but you have a lot of background noise, so if you could try to minimize that, we would appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you. That might be helpful. Robin, do you mind introducing yourself?
Hi there, I'm Robin Burgess and I'm here representing Mr. McKinney, but I will probably be very limited in my speaking. I understand you would like to hear from Mr. McKinney more than you'd like to hear from me, and I won't take that personally.
Thank
so
you.
I'll mute myself unless you want to hear from me.
Thank you. Okay, and we do have a patient on the call as well. Ms. Richards, do you mind giving us a brief overview of the allegations, please?
Absolutely. The board received a complaint 20-29 in October 2nd of 2020 after receiving it from patient KS. KS alleged that Mr. McKinney caused her injury and pain after he performed a, quote, chiropractic maneuver, end quote, on her lower body. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Mr. McKinney, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, I would. Thank you so much, board, for letting me give this time to represent myself. So I worked with client KS from October 2018 to May 2019. I did an initial assessment with her and discovered that she was having issues with extension in her body, at her neck, at her low back primarily. And my entire treatment plan was always focused on addressing her postures and her movement patterns to eliminate this in her body. She was a complicated chronic pain client with a complex medical history, including back surgery, multiple injections, and such and so forth. On the date that the KS reports that I performed a quote-unquote chiropractic maneuver, I measured her legs, found them to be equal, so negating the whole reason to do any kind of leg length correction maneuver. How she described it was a bilateral leg pull that was aggressive in nature, and according to just joint kinematics, a bilateral leg pull would not have corrected a leg length discrepancy anything. Anyway, the ones that I perform are a muscle energy technique and are unilaterally performed, and it requires the client to have an active participation with deep breathing. And then when the maneuver is actually performed, the client does a cough. So they would have been informed that this was going on as the case. After that session, the neck pain was completely gone. Knee pain was decreased, low back pain was decreased. And I wasn't aware of any issue at that point. I had follow-up emails and sessions with the client, continued to work with her, and then I was made aware through the my coworker who owns the clinic that I work at that KS was having some complaints and reporting this to some of her friends that were clients of the therapist who owned the clinic. And she approached me and asked, about the situation. I talked to her about it. We did a chart review. We did a co-treatment session. After that co-treatment session, it seems that KS was emailing quite frequently with the owner of the clinic, more so rather than me, letting her know additional medical, personal, psychological issues that I was unaware of completely, and asking to be a client of the lady who owns the clinic. And up until the investigation, I had no information that the KS was uncomfortable working with me. And if I had known that, I would have been more than happy to assist her in working with another therapist, perhaps a female therapist, or whatever would have helped out the best. I continued to treat her as per my initial assessment with functional movement corrections, postural corrections, and into 2019, the attendance of therapy was dwindling, getting further and further spread apart. I did a reassessment in May 2019, and at that point, KS failed to return back to physical therapy with myself.
Thank you. Patient KS, would you like to take a moment to make a statement?
Yes. You want me to make a statement?
Yes, please.
You're cutting out and I can't hear very well. Yeah, that's a really different explanation than my what I experienced. I went to Justin for my low back. What happened was when I was started walking up the hill, I had just moved to Prescott a couple of months before I moved back to Prescott, and I had been climbing hills up in Phoenix, South Mountain, regularly, even after I had a total knee replacement. But it was giving me trouble. But I was running out of breath. I was out of breath, and it was unusual. So I was going to a massage therapist that I've known for a long time and trust. And she suggested that my back was bad, which I knew that. I'd had a prior laminectomy, which worked for the pain. But I thought that still I was having discomfort. But I thought that the out of breath was due to my back. So Justin worked with me for quite a while. I think we ended our session, and he did a really good job. I trusted him a lot. We didn't have much of a conversation between us. He was rather quiet, but I got what I needed out of the session, because by the end of the session, and I told him this, the last session we had, I said that the day before I had walked 2 miles up and down this where I live, which is among hills, and I was grateful for that. And he said, and when I was putting on my shoes, I have an orthotic in my shoe, in my left shoe. I've had it for a long time. And he said that he saw that my gait was different. My legs were uneven, I guess. I don't even remember what he said, honestly, at that time. But the gait was different, and he might be able to fix it, or to do something, some help for it. Again, please, the words are long gone, but that was the gist of it. And so I I stopped for a second and I thought, sure, I trusted him. He's been really good. And so I laid down on the bench that we did a lot of work on, and he did the loading around my head, which I always quite frankly fall asleep at that, but he, you know, walked around me, I believe, and then was doing that loading on the head, and then he apparently went down to my feet and lifted my legs and pulled as he lifted and put them down, and I my eyes flew open, and he said, so then I went to get down and I couldn't step on my left foot right away, right when I went to step down. And he said to give it a few days, that, you know, it should even out and, you know, be okay. And so this was around Christmas time, just before Christmas, I believe. And so I gave it a few days, like he said, but I couldn't walk. I couldn't put any weight on that foot at all, because it hurt up to the left side of my back, on the left side of my hip and leg area. And the left foot was the strongest. The left leg was all the strongest since I had my right total knee replacement. So I had to step up my steps on the right, with the right knee. So I called him a couple of times and he was busy. And I thought, well, Christmas time. And then I got in a couple of times and he did some work. And honestly, I don't remember that period. I just remember, you know, that I went in and we tried to do some work. I know the last time I was there, he asked me to lift my leg up, which I could do before when I was laying on my stomach, lift it up in the back, and I couldn't. I couldn't even move it at all. So I had a group of friends that I was visiting and seeing at the time. We met once a month, and they were the ones that told me to tell. I was afraid. I didn't want to. I don't know why. I just didn't want to confront him with it. I assumed that he knew. But finally, he already did know after I told Ruth Backways about it. Because that's what my friend said. She said to just tell her if you're not comfortable with him. So I did, and she came in and did some maneuvers that I was assuming would help, but it didn't. And each time, even she or the other woman did maneuvers, and I just expected them to fix it because they broke it, it got injured there. So I thought they would be able to fix it. So the last time I said, I swore I was going to ask him to apologize, because if he had just apologized and said he would work with me, I would have let it go. This would not take this much time. I hate doing this. I get nervous about this stuff. And I've never complained before to a physical therapist ever. So, I looked at him and I said, I said, I'd like an apology. And he looked at me in the eyes and said, I'd like to apologize, but I don't recall doing it. So that's the last time I saw him. I didn't go to him after that. And quite frankly, I didn't trust him even when I went, and why I went, God knows. But after that, I trusted him completely when we were working together with the back. So that was pretty much it. So I've been to so many doctors and had so much. I had two shots before I went to, I had a laminectomy and two shots before I went to Justin. And I have had long back trouble. But I've never had my legs. I've walked all my life. I had just gotten finished with a job at the military. and walked all over the bases. I didn't have cars, so I had to walk everywhere I went, and I love it. It, in fact, I heard somebody say earlier that they didn't want to think of it again. Every single day and every single night, I remember this, and I go back wishing that I had not said yes, and that I had not continued to trust. I should have gone to the, I did go to the ER eventually, but I should have gone right away. You know, I mean, I know now what I should have done, but I didn't. But it hurts now. I'm still going. Now they're going to, I'm going to go down. I'm going to get a shot again in the bursa, the trochanter bursa, which, by the way, only, and I've had, since then, I live on a hill. I can't go into my backyard because it's a hill. I can't go up there anymore. I moved myself into this house. With, of course, people, my kids moved the furniture, but I, you know, I went back and forth. I walked. I could, you know, I was functional. Every day I walked. That's my whole, was my whole way of staying not only physically healthy, but sane. And after that, I've walked, watched people walk. And I mean, I've dealt with depression and all kinds of stuff after that. It's just painful. It is better now. It's better than it has been since I got the laminectomy. But I still can't walk up hills, and I still can't put full weight on that foot, because what it does is affect the bursa. Well, I've read about trochanter bursa. When I went to the doctor here, he told me it was the trochanter bursa because they took an MRI. And I didn't even know what that was. And I found out that the way you can get a trochanter bursa injured is normally is by the high jumpers, you know, jumping and injuring it, or being in an accident with a seatbelt around your waist. So, and after the accident, you know, that it pulls you in two directions. So it was not anything that I would have ever done. I've never fallen, ever. I've taken all kinds of yoga, Korean yoga. I signed up for all of it when I came here again, but I can't do any of it. So I have never fallen, even though I have a peripheral, mild peripheral neuropathy in my feet, idiopathic, but have never, ever fallen. I make certain of that.
Thank you.
But I can't go anymore. I can't go up hills anymore. I can't walk for far anymore without having to stop. And okay. It has to be on a flat surface and on the dirt. So
thank you so much.
I guess that's it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. We really appreciate your statement and appreciate, you know, your sharing your experience with us. Thank you. As this is an initial review, board members, do you have any questions at all for Mr. McKinney or for patient KS in order to make a determination on next steps?
Mr. McKinney, this is Peggy Hunter. Can you go through what you tell the patient and what you do to check for a leg length discrepancy?
Yes. So for leg length discrepancy, I have them lie supine, check to make sure the iliac crests are even, so that we're starting off with a neutral position with the pelvis. Usually I have them do a bridging technique in order to make that even. And then I take a tape measure and measure from the ASIS to the medial malleolus, and I compare that. What was your second part of that question?
Oh, that was it. So can you explain to me, the patient is saying you pulled her legs or a leg. Was that part of the test? Or was that for something else.
So the only thing that I do that has both legs being held is a fascial evaluation technique called myofascial listening, where you can either put your hands over the top of the dorsum of the feet, or you can kind of cup the heels with your hands, and then you distract gently, and then you feel for fascial tensions in the lower extremities, seeing if there's any restriction at knee, seeing if there's any restrictions at thigh, at hip, at pelvis. If it's a normal feel, you should feel all the way up to pelvis, and you should see some movement with all those joints moving. So that's the only bilateral leg held technique, but it's an evaluation. It's not a treatment. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if it were an upslipped ilium or something, that would be unilateral. That would only be one-sided, and like I said, would require patient participation.
Okay, so after it was determined that she did not have a leg length discrepancy, what was the other treatment you provided for her?
So that treatment, I believe we did a lot of neurological mobilization. So going up into the sciatic notch, the sciatic nerve was being tractioned up towards the sacrum. So I did a sacral mobilization where the client lies supine. I hold the sacrum in my hand, and I provide some gentle distal tractioning to the sacrum, and you can oscillate it by, and then as far as the neurological mobilization, you actually go in and you palpate onto the sciatic nerve itself. The leg is flexed at the hip and knee, so that the foot is flat on the plinth, and you traction the sciatic nerve, and then the leg moves into an external rotation, and then eventually going into a straight leg position, and then finally an internal rotation. And that helps to mobilize that sciatic nerve up to the sacral plexus.
Okay, so when the treatment was completed and the patient got off the plinth table, whatever, she complained about not being able to put weight on her leg?
Allegedly. According to my pain reports, which I always do a final pain report in a standing position.
Whoops, breaking up.
Sorry. I always do a final pain assessment in a standing position. So I wouldn't have asked anybody lying down what their final pain was. So
correct.
when she was on her feet, that's when we had the reports of, you know, the neck pain was gone, the knee was better, I think the back pain decreased from a 4.5 or 4 to 5 to 4. So it had dropped, you know, essentially a half subjective report. So, you know, I don't recall any limping or complaints of unable to bear weight.
To your recollection, why does the patient wear an orthotic in her left leg?
My best guess is she was seeing practitioners prior to ever starting therapy with me. Mm-hmm. And at some point, someone decided she had a leg length discrepancy and probably issued her a heel lift.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Dr. Bustillo, do you have any questions for Mr. McKinney?
Is this a maneuver that you've performed with this patient on previous occasions?
So are you talking about the maneuver with the nerve mobilization?
Prior to that, the leg pull to
the evaluation?
Evaluation of the chiropractic maneuver.
Oh, well, I've never performed that maneuver on this client. She's contraindicated towards it. She has anterior lysthesis, or, you know, I was told to me she had an anterior lysthesis. She had a chronic history of low back pain with osteoporosis. So just not a candidate for manipulative therapy.
So With the leg pull then, is that like the first time you have done that with her?
For the evaluation technique with the myofascial work? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an evaluation technique. So it doesn't treat anything. And okay. it's just to feel the tensions of tissue. So that would have been any time that I would have done any manual work with her, I would check for those tensions in the system. So that would have been done multiple times before and after, during treatment, you know, quite often.
So you feel that she had had that happen previously and yes. No ill effects?
Absolutely.
Mr. McKinney, there was mention in your charting that she had participated in a Feldenkrais class. It was once or twice around this same time. Did she expand on what she did in that? And I'll ask her the same. But in your note, in your documentation, you mention it. But what was the relevance of that to your note?
While she was seeing me, she was also seeing a chiropractor and also engaged in Feldenkrais treatment or exercises. And as she would report to me, you know, anytime that she would see she would have the Feldenkrais, usually she would report she had pain with that. And then at least on one occasion when she reported going to a chiropractor, she also reported having pain with that as well. So, I didn't reel her and ask her exactly, you know, what are you doing with Feldenkrais? Show me the, you know, exercises or whatever. Just noted that she was engaged in performing Feldenkrais and then was complaining that that had hurt her. And I think she even reported prior to the Feldenkrais movements that she was actually feeling quite well. She was pain free. And then after that happened, that she was having pain. So she came in to that appointment with pain from that.
Patient KS, briefly, can you let us know what you mentioned to Justin?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. The day before, the night, the time before that last time, I told him about Feldenkrais, that I was going to Feldenkrais treatment. You know, that not treatment, but I was going to a class on Feldenkrais. And I told him I did learn that I can't get it down on the floor anymore and up and down like that to do the work because it doesn't hurt my leg, but I suppose it hurt my back temporarily. But it didn't maintain the pain on my back. In fact, my back was better our last session. So no, that this would have been on something, the trochanter bursa and that left side. I don't know. All I can say is that it wasn't bad. And I never complained before that about the bursa. So why would that suddenly, that left side and the bursa be, and the leg be an issue? It was never mentioned at all until the day after he did that. Until actually the day he did that, but I know that he didn't note it in his chart.
Thank you.
KS, this is Peggy Hunter. Can you tell me what year you had your knee replacement?
My knee replacement was in 2016.
Okay.
April. I think, 2017. It was April, I think, of 2017.
And that's on your right side, correct?
Correct.
Did you ever have any pain walking up and down hills?
Well, I did at first, right after I had the surgery. Yeah, it took me a while to get rid of the pain, and I finally... I couldn't walk up the hill and down the hills and for probably 3 months afterwards.
Did you ever get your doctor's permission to do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he knew. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have done it unless he would have said so. Mm-hmm.
So why do you wear an orthotic in your left leg, foot, shoe?
Well, I had forgotten, but when I talked to my spine doctor and told him what happened, he said, you have scoliosis in the spine. I had forgotten. At one time, it seemed like somebody might have measured my legs uneven, but I don't recall that at all. I do recall that I started wearing it to help my gait, and that was many years ago, because apparently my left side was higher than the right side. And so I always wore that left orthotic.
Your left side was higher?
My left side was apparently higher because I wore the orthotic in the left side. And the doctor told me you can't even if you have scoliosis, that automatically lifts up one side of the gait. So apparently that was part of the reason why I started wearing it.
Okay, thank you.
Members of the board, do you have any additional questions?
This question is for KS. During that week that you feel that Mr. McKinney injured you, were you, other than the Feldenkrais class, were you also receiving chiropractic treatment that week?
No. Well, I went to, I don't think I did. I think I have, I went to Amy, I can't remember her, Torquino. She was not a regular chiropractor. She would maneuver, but just barely touching. But I don't recall when, I honestly don't recall when I went to her. I'd go to her occasionally for the last, I might have gone to her maybe 6 times altogether in the last couple of years.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. McKinney, do you know that the patient had scoliosis?
Yes, I mean, with her history of the laminectomy, with all that, yeah, there was definitely some scoliosis, whether it was true scoliosis or whether it was functional scoliosis due to the scarring and past injections and everything. You know, I'm not quite sure of that. I've never seen an x-ray with the wedging.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, Mr. McKinney, when with part of your exercise program, hip abductor strengthening with her?
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, that was a huge important part of the whole entire PT course. Is she had extremely weak hips. She would go into medial rotation with sit to stand. That would put a valgus on her knee. That would put a valgus at the hip. I was trying to get her to do functional movements at the stand for home programs. She would come in and say, I just can't do this. I said, okay, please use some pillows. I'll elevate the surface. She got to a point where she said, I'm not doing them. I said, okay, what can we do to get you to at least strengthen your hips? We tried the side-lying hip abduction, external rotation, quote unquote, you know, clamshells. I had her try wall sits in an acceptable range of motion and just had her try to hold herself on the wall, keeping her knees in alignment just to try to get some functional strength back. But it throughout the entire course of her care, there was just really poor hip strength the entire time. Not poor in an MMT manner. Poor and like suboptimal. Sorry.
Understood. KS,
yeah.
Final question, I guess. Do you remember these exercises that Mr.?
No, I don't remember the hip. I was trying to remember. I know I couldn't get down on the knee that I have because I mean the knee replacement. I still can't do that because it's I don't know. It feels awful. It gives me pain. But I don't remember. I know we did a lot of belly strengthening and I don't remember. I used to have the exercises.
Okay.
That we did, but I honestly, I don't remember what we did on the hips.
Do you feel like your hips are weak?
No, the only one that is weak is my left hip, and that's only recently, in the last couple of years since I had the pull. I call it a pull. He may have not meant to pull it, but although he's gonna say a whole different thing. I mean, he doesn't even remember me getting onto the table. So, but he lifted it up and set it down. He may not have pulled it, but something that he did woke me up. And then after that, I could not step on it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Wait, one more time. I'm sorry. Is that what created the pain in the bursa area, do you feel?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know I had a bursa until then. I went directly to my orthotic doctor, and orthopedist, and he finally did the MRI and found that it was mostly in the leg for me, but on the hip, too. I couldn't touch. I still can't touch that side right now. And the left side, just where I sit as well, is painful, both that left side and all the way down my left leg.
All right. Okay. I think I have a better.
No, I never had any problem like that before.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. McKinney, last question. Other than your treatment of this patient, the investigative report showed some deficiencies in your documentation. Would you like to address those?
Yeah, absolutely. During this whole process, I was aware of just how much of some shorthand stuff that I was doing in my notes that was, you know, meant something to myself, but anybody reviewing my notes would have not have understood the, you know, extent of things. One example is, you know, when I do a cervical assessment for like a joint dysfunction and I find one, I take the neck through flexion, extension, rotations, you know, I put down the cervical dysfunction, but I'm not like, I didn't write down cervical range of motion within functional limits. So definitely, I agree in this. You know, I actually have, since this investigative series started, I enrolled in the MedBridge courses. I've started the one, I'm about halfway through it, and it's entitled Documentation for Evaluation and Reevaluation. And already it's very helpful. And I'm, you know, like, okay, yeah, I need to start implementing a lot of these things in my notes. I'm doing a much better job with my assessment statements and being more explanatory as far as what my brain is thinking. I feel like that was a thing that was really conveyed to me. Like I was thinking something, but I wasn't necessarily conveying it in assessments of like, okay, this is what I think is going on. This is what, you know, this is what. So, you know, with all my charts at this point, I'm doing a much more explanatory portion of the assessment, and as far as, and then plan of care as well.
Yeah, there's also some evidence of there isn't any clinical rationale, etc. So you have to think of doing your notes so a PT, another PT, and a PTA can follow them.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, so members of the board, based on the merits of the case, do you have any recommendations as far as next steps for where we would go with this?
This is Peggy. I don't know how the rest of the board feels, but I feel there's no evidence, or I'm not convinced of ARS 3220.44.4. But I do believe that he needs to take a documentation course, which he is already doing. So this is an initial review. I'd be willing to offer a consent agreement for him to take a documentation course with verification from the board that that would be all right. A staff.
And that would be non-disciplinary?
It sounds like your non-disciplinary direction.
Correct.
So it would be a non-disciplinary order instead of a consent order?
Correct.
Okay. With CEUs. Okay. Any other discussion or thoughts?
Don't have a set. Is that your motion, Ms. Hunter, to offer 6 hours of continuing education and documentation for how long?
For, you mean like a probation time?
Yes.
6 hours?
No, I get
for the documentation course.
How long to complete the course?
I would say 6 months with the option of an early termination request by the therapist.
Okay, we need a second.
Second.
You are in discussion.
Can you restate Ms. Hunter's motion, please?
The motion that's been moved and seconded is to offer a non-disciplinary order to include 6 hours of documentation to be completed within 6 months.
Thank you.
I'd be inclined to dismiss this case, and so I'm going to vote no. But
yeah, for me, I think listening to testimony, reading all of the documentation, it's clear that patient KS is in pain, but I don't think it's clear enough to me that it was a result of Mr. McKinney's specific treatment.
I agree. I'm not doubting the patient's, saying that she was in pain. I'm just not convinced that it was done by Mr. McKinney.
Yeah, so my thought is, Peggy, on your motion, it sounds like he's already started to go that direction. I'm not sure that having the board tell him to go in a direction he's already going in, as far as taking the CEUs, would make a difference, especially if it's non-disciplinary. It's just a thought.
Would you rather be disciplined?
Nope.
No.
No, I'm
not. I didn't think so.
Follow.
Okay. All right.
But we have a motion and a second. So
sure.
We need to decide on that first, and then
okay.
If it passes, it passes. And if it doesn't, maybe rethink it. Does anyone else have any discussion, or should we call the vote on the motion for a non-disciplinary board order for CEUs?
I am happy with a non-disciplinary suggestion. I just wanted to try to keep us along that vein.
Okay, thank you. Would you add any additional CEUs if the motion maker was inclined to amend? Is there any additional CEUs that you would prefer to see other than documentation, Dr. Bustillo?
No.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, then let's call the question.
So the motion before you is to offer a non-disciplinary order for complaint 2029, Mr. Justin McKinney, PT, for 6 hours of documentation to be completed within 6 months. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
No.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
And Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The motion passes and will issue a non-disciplinary order. Mr. McKinney will be sending something to you by email and by mail.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
All right, the last item on our agenda is just to formally put in the record that Ms. Remick has officially resigned her position on the board as she pursues other academic endeavors out of state. So we want to thank her publicly for her service, and we have thanked her personally as well.
I'll miss her.
Yes, thank you so much.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. And then so do we have, Karen, there's some processes in place to sort of start thinking about naming new board members, so, correct?
That is up to the governor's office. I've been assured by them that once the session closes, we will see appointments to our board. So we're waiting for the session to end to see if that remains the case.
Okay. Any other discussion needs by the board or board business? Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and second to adjourn the meeting. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Karen, can I ask you something?
Wait, for those people who are not going to be here for the July meeting, if you could please let me know, I would appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, yes, go ahead.
Are we still recording?
Yeah, let me stop the recording. Hang on one second.